Welcome back. My name is Ryan Craner, and we are Strategic Planning Group, located on historic Main Street in Bountiful. We've been operating and advising clients in Utah for decades. In this show, we've provided some information about retirement, investing, and other financial topics. We'll be doing this every week at the same time. One of the things that I want to call your attention to is that at Strategic Planning Group, we have something called an SOS. This is a second opinion service. This SOS is great for one-off questions that you may have. Perhaps you've received a recommendation for an investment or a retirement strategy of some kind, or possibly a retirement tax strategy, and you would just like a second opinion. What might be good about the investment? What might be bad about it? What are some of the drawbacks? Just an overall second opinion. This is what our SOS does. It's a written, no questions asked, no pressure, no cost, second opinion. If you have some large transaction or recommendation that you've received from another advisor, take advantage of our second opinion service. At Strategic Planning Group, the goal is to gather all the necessary professionals around the same table to develop a complete blueprint for your retirement, which includes investment management, estate, legal, and tax strategies, all combined to help you achieve your perfect calendar and lifestyle during retirement. When was the last time your CPA, attorney, and investment manager sat at the same table and worked from the same blueprint for you? If the answer is never, I suggest you call 801-627-2200 or go to our website at strategicutah.com. All right, in the first half of our show, we have covered lifestyle and perfect calendar planning in retirement. We have covered portfolio management. We've discussed product promotions and advertising campaigns that consumers are exposed to coming out of the financial industry. So now I'm going to bring back Tom Craner and John Park, our wealth management advisors at Strategic Planning Group. Tom Craner is going to talk about some of the common mistakes and planning strategies centered around beneficiaries on IRAs, 401ks, and retirement plans. And after that, John Park is going to talk to us about so-called Social Security secrets. All right, so let's talk about beneficiaries. All qualified 401k and IRA accounts have named beneficiaries, primary and contingents. This is an area where people make very expensive mistakes. Most investors pay attention to the investment they're in, the titling of the account, the performance and rate of return of the account, but rarely do they pay much attention at all to who and what they have named as their primary and contingent beneficiaries. At Strategic Planning Group, we spend a great deal of time with our clients making sure the beneficiary designations of their IRA, 401k, tax-qualified type accounts are well thought out, regularly updated, and accurate. Now here's why. How and who you've named as beneficiaries is so important. Remember, traditional IRAs and 401ks are 100% taxable to your beneficiaries. Roth 401ks and Roth IRAs are not taxable. However, incorrectly named beneficiaries may force your family to exit the valuable tax-free structure of Roth IRAs much sooner than necessary. Many people are advised by their attorney to name their trust as the primary beneficiary of their IRA and 401k accounts. This can be especially problematic and expensive to your beneficiaries if it's not done correctly. Tom, tell me what you see as you're reviewing beneficiaries for new clients.
Well, very commonly as I meet with new clients, they're well aware of their overall balances and investment account type and where the accounts are held and so forth. But as I ask them who the beneficiaries are, spouses very commonly look at each other like, well, I don't know, I'm sure it's my wife or my husband as the beneficiary. And then when I ask them who they have as their contingent beneficiaries, they once again have an unsure look on their face, and sometimes they don't even realize that there's such a thing as contingent beneficiaries. They might say something like, well, I'm sure it's my kids, you know, but the bottom line is that people are very unaware of how and who they've named as beneficiaries, and they're even more unsure of how they should be doing this.
So naming beneficiaries, especially on large balance IRAs and 401ks, is a crucial part of an estate plan. And quite honestly, most people get it wrong. This can create a huge and unnecessary tax burden to their heirs. Tom, What kind of mistakes are you seeing that people make with their beneficiary designations?
Well, just like the movie, I see dead people. Very often, I will be sitting in front of a new client, and when we get to the beneficiary discussion, we discover that a deceased spouse or child is named as the primary beneficiary. Obviously, this is a big mistake. Dead people do not make good beneficiaries.
Right.
First, if a deceased person is named as the primary beneficiary, then it defaults to the contingent beneficiary. But we've seen numerous cases where a deceased person is named as the primary beneficiary, and they failed to even name a contingent beneficiary. So guess what? Now the estate of the account holder is the default beneficiary. There's a big problem here. It becomes all taxable all at once. So whoever ends up inheriting the IRA money is taxed all in 1 year. Think of a $1 million plus IRA or 401k and the huge and unnecessary tax expense that that could be.
So I know the answer to this, but why would anybody ever name a dead person as their beneficiary?
Well, obviously they don't name the dead person as their beneficiary, but what happens here is a lack of good advice and proper planning and especially proper review process year by year. They name a very much alive person to begin with, a spouse, child, whoever, who subsequently passes away, and then they fail to review their beneficiaries, sometimes for years, and then they have these tax landmines hidden in their estate.
Yes, people make these mistakes all the time. You know, I remember several years back, I was in a meeting with new clients, a husband and wife, and they'd been married about 20 years, and I'm asking them about their investment assets, their retirement assets. And the husband has a large $1 million plus IRA, and I ask about the beneficiaries. And he looks at his wife, and he says, well, certainly the beneficiary is my wife here. Now, as we go through the account, we actually discover that the primary beneficiary is his ex-wife of 20 years earlier. Ouch. That must have been a long ride home for that guy. Obviously, we corrected the error long before it became a problem. But just understand this. The case law and the precedent in the courts is very clear here. The court is going to enforce the named beneficiary. No matter how wrong, inaccurate, or unintentional it is, the court always goes by the named beneficiary. So there are numerous cases where an ex-spouse of 20 and 30 years back ends up receiving sometimes millions of dollars from pension, 401k, and IRA accounts unintentionally. This is very painful, obviously, to the actual spouse or the current spouse. So not only is this a critical process to make sure your money goes to who you want and how you want, but since pensions, 401ks, and IRAs are 100% taxable as ordinary income, mistakes in this area are horribly expensive. So many people are advised by their estate planning attorney to name their trust as a primary beneficiary in all their pension, 401k, IRA assets. This makes sense because the client and their attorney have a well-thought-out, specific distribution plan to their beneficiaries in a detailed trust document. Tom, tell us what happens when people want to name their trust as a beneficiary.
Well, there are reasons why people want to name the trust as the beneficiary. Like you said, it is a very detailed and well-thought-out distribution plan for their family. Rather than just naming spouses and children directly, they are dictating how and when the money is distributed through the trust. The second reason to name a trust as a beneficiary on retirement accounts is to, quote-unquote, rule from the grave.
Rule from the grave. That sounds very, like, dark. What do you mean, rule from the grave?
Well, generally speaking, with retirement account beneficiaries, you name a person and the money goes to that person, end of story. There are no restrictions or any language to protect that beneficiary from themselves. And most of our clients don't like the idea of their beneficiaries inheriting a multi-million dollar estate and making mistakes, blowing the money, or using the money to feed an unfortunate addiction or vice. So the rule from the grave concept is sometimes important to people. Also, on a quick side note, on a tax strategy matter, it's important to recognize that in the early days of IRAs and 401ks, 30 plus years ago or so, these types of accounts were only a small portion of a typical estate. These days, IRAs and 401ks are often 80 and 90% of the entire estate, and they're taxable. There are ways to rule from the grave and protect your beneficiaries from spendthrift mistakes, investment mistakes, etc., by using a trust. And this actually works really well when it's structured correctly. You cannot simply name the trust as the primary beneficiary and expect that to work out, though. If you just name your trust as in the primary beneficiary slot on an application, this is almost always an expensive mistake. Your trust can be, and in many cases should be, the primary beneficiary, but there is precise and legal language that's required to prevent unnecessary taxation to your beneficiaries. We see so many people get this wrong. Another big mistake that people make is thinking that because they don't have $1 million plus estate, that they really don't need a trust or legal estate plan. This is incorrect. If you have a modest estate, you owe it to your beneficiaries to make sure your estate avoids probate and is well thought out and simple for them upon inheriting it. The good news is that it is really easy to prevent all of these problems with a higher level of service and advice from experienced, qualified advisors. Your retirement assets can be distributed to your beneficiaries in exactly the way that you prefer.
You know, Tom, something I've ran into in the past 30 years, a lot of families, a lot of people have one of their children that they know to be especially responsible, and they'll make this mistake. They may have, say, 4 or 5 kids, but they'll make the oldest or the most responsible kid the 100% beneficiary on their accounts because, you know, she'll know what to do. She'll make sure they get it. She'll make sure they don't blow it. So I want 100% of my account to go to her. So Tom, what's your experience with that, where they want to leave one kid as the responsible person and make them the 100% beneficiary?
Yeah, it's a really bad idea to name a single child as the beneficiary and entrust them to ensure the rest of the siblings get their fair shares, even if they're trustworthy. First off, this causes a huge tax burden to the one child named as beneficiaries. Remember, IRAs and retirement accounts are 100% taxable to the beneficiary. They can't go transferring them around to other siblings without paying taxes and penalties. Furthermore, we've seen families and siblings absolutely torn apart and their relationships destroyed over bad beneficiary ideas like this.
Well, yes, that's a bad idea for sure. Okay, thank you, Tom. That was Tom Craner talking to us about beneficiaries. Now we have John Park back with us. So, John, you know, I can't even turn on the radio or read a newspaper anymore without hearing a financial advisor touting or advertising some sort of Social Security secret strategy that only they know. So, John, tell us about these so-called Social Security secrets.
Oh, yeah. They're out there. You hear these commercials almost every single day where these groups, these firms talk about how they have these secret Social Security strategies and formulas that the Social Security Administration can't tell you about. And I swear, I almost break my steering wheel when I hear these commercials because it just drives me nuts. It's the same thing every time. And as a matter of fact, I know someone who went to one of these meetings and I asked them how it went. And they said for about 5 or so minutes, they talked about Social Security strategies. But then the person went into an hour-long sales pitch about fixed annuities and fixed life insurance. And then when I looked at the secret sauce formula, what it was is the scenario claimed that they could get this couple an extra $220,000 in lifetime benefits from Social Security, all by planning to wait until age 70 to file instead of 66. Well, that's not a secret strategy. That's just one of your available choices, right? But then they say, okay, well, if you wait till age 70 and file, each spouse will get an extra chunk of money every month, you know, $600 each or whatever it is. But the problem with that scenario that I found is it assumed that both spouses would live to be age 100. How likely are you and your spouse to both live to be age 100? Not very much, right? So then the other problem of that is, let's say you do retire age 66 and postpone Social Security till 70. Well, what other money are you going to live on in the meantime? What are you going to replace that foregone Social Security income for the next 4 years? What's likely going to happen is you're going to have to withdraw way too much from your retirement assets up front in order to bridge that gap. You're going to be pulling too much money for 4 years, crucial money pulled out early in your retirement plan.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I'm wondering, you know, if you do that, you forego the Social Security, what's the break-even point for sacrificing 4 years of income? What, have you calculated that?
I have actually quite a bit, and there's two parts of that. The first part is, okay, let's say you go without that Social Security income for 4 years. So, okay, yeah, you're going to get more money each month, but because you lost 4 years of income, that extra monthly income won't make up for it until you're usually in your mid-80s. So you've got to wait a while for that. But then the other part that I was talking about that I'm even more concerned about is if you depleted and withdrew way too much of your investment assets up front, all of that lost money that is gone, you withdrew too much too soon, no more growth on that money, kiss it goodbye. Once you calculate in that opportunity cost, there is no break even. And here's what it comes down to. Social Security is not rocket science. We'll help you figure it out. You don't need to fall for these Social Security gimmicks and these magic formulas. And as a matter of fact, the Social Security Administration's website, they have a lot of awesome resources. They have different calculators. They have people you can talk to. You can go meet with them. They have a lot of resources and educational resources for you to learn about your different options. And we'll do that for you too. You can come in and sit with us. We're not going to pitch this, you know, kind of gimmick and secret sauce formula. We'll help you analyze the options and find out what's best for you and use the administration's tools.
Right. So, you know, John, I was wondering if the Social Security Administration is aware that there's all these secrets that they don't know about.
I don't know. Maybe they're not aware of it. And there's these guys out there that just found the magic formula that the Social Security Administration doesn't know about. But all I can say is they're the experts. They are the ones who are over the entire program. They have great tools and resources. I don't want to reinvent the wheel and pretend that I have some magic formula. Let's use their resources. Let's educate ourselves about it and then pick the right strategy.
I agree. That sounds like sound advice to me. So that was John Park talking to us about Social Security strategies. Not necessarily secrets, but strategies. We'll be right back after this break.
Hi, this is John Park, a wealth management advisor at Strategic Planning Group, and I'd like to talk to you about the surprising stresses of retirement planning. You know, early in my career, I always assumed that everybody entering and preparing for retirement would be excited. It's supposed to be a happy, celebratory time in your life, right? But as time went on, I realized that for many, many people, it's one of the most stressful events in their life. It is a major life event and change to go from your working years into your retirement years. And I would tell you that this is exactly why you need a professional retirement advisor. We believe that the proper way to prepare and enter retirement is to have a written plan so that you know that you have everything accounted for and are properly prepared for your successful retirement. Give us a call. You can reach us at 801-627-2200. That's 801-627-2200. Talk to Heather. She'll get you scheduled right away. We can also be found online at strategicutah.com. That's strategicutah.com.
Welcome back. This is Ryan Craner with Strategic Planning Group. Okay, so now I want to talk about expensive tax mistakes that people make with their retirement investments when making rollover IRAs, 401k rollovers, and so forth. So everyone is aware and has heard of a 401k rollover to an IRA. Many people are not aware that there are important details and legalities that must be followed to avoid unnecessary tax and penalties. Over the years, people have made very expensive tax mistakes on these rollovers. Plans and the companies that administer plans have been getting better at making sure participants don't make these kind of mistakes and unnecessarily expose plan or IRA balances to taxation all in one year. Rolling over a 401k to an IRA is pretty common and most often does not create expensive tax mistakes. There are exceptions, of course, especially with 401k loans. Now also, there are IRA to IRA transfers that are done very commonly as well. Usually this is done as a transfer from one IRA custodian to a new one at another custodian. These transfers are done all the time and usually do not cause tax problems. An IRA transfer must occur as a trustee to a trustee transfer between institutions. These transfers don't involve the account holder receiving a check or touching or handling the transaction in any way. Institution A sends the money directly to Institution B on behalf of the IRA owner, and that's pretty straightforward. However, one area that I have noticed that's causing problems for more and more people is the 60-day IRA rollover methodology. Like a transfer, this is where the IRA account owner wants to move their IRA to a new custodian or a new investment. These 60-day rollovers allow you to withdraw and touch the IRA proceeds, like actually take possession of them and even use them, as long as you get the same amount back into any IRA in your name within 60 days of the withdrawal. So, with 60-day IRA rollovers, people have realized that, hey, you can withdraw and use part of or all of your IRA money for some investment or a real estate down payment or any short-term use, as long as you have exactly the same amount of money back into an IRA within 60 days. There is no tax or interest to pay. Sounds great, right? Well, we have seen case after case where the IRA owner just does not get the withdrawn proceeds back into an IRA within that 60-day period. You'll see in the case law where the IRS enforces the rules and these IRA owners end up paying full taxation and sometimes penalties by not getting the money back in time within the 60 days. I have seen this in our practice for years. People always have the best of intentions to abide by this strict 60-day rule, but it's uncanny how often people get in trouble with that 60-day period and they just can't get the money back in time. Now, quite often, people will use this 60-day rollover method to transfer IRAs. An example would be an IRA owner that's in a hurry to transfer part or all of their IRA. Perhaps they're excited about a new investment and they don't want to wait for the less risky IRA transfer process. So they call or visit the investment company or the bank which currently holds their IRA account and they request a withdrawal, and a check is then sent or given to them, made out to them in their name. The IRA owner then takes the check to the new institution, within 60 days of course, and deposits the check in the new IRA. Simple enough. But here's where the problem starts. Until 2015, you could have an unlimited number of 60-day rollovers in any given year. Now, starting in 2015, you can only do one 60-day rollover in any given year or 365-day period. It's not calendar year. This is where people have been getting into trouble. There have been many cases where you can see that the IRA owner has ended up in tax court or requesting leniency from the IRS because they violated that one per year 60-day IRA rollover rule. It happens like this. I'll give you an example. An IRA owner wants to make a new investment with a new investment firm. They have an existing large IRA balance with investment firm A. The IRA owner goes to investment firm A and they get a check made out to them for, say, $20,000. They are using the 60-day rollover method. The check is made out to them because they don't want to wait for the traditional IRA to IRA transfer process. So they request a check payable to them. They take the check to the new investment firm and open an IRA and deposit the $20,000. Within 60 days, all is well. Now, that same person, the IRA owner, 6 months later, now wants to move the entire balance of their old IRA at investment firm A to the new IRA at investment firm B. So the 60-day rollover method worked well the first time for the $20,000. It went quickly and smoothly, so they do it again. They request a check payable to them, this time for the whole balance of $750,000. They take the check to the new institution and deposit it to their new IRA. What they've done, they have just unknowingly violated the one per year per IRA rollover rule. The entire balance of the $750,000 is now fully taxable all at once. Ouch! And they are also penalized because they're under age 59 and a half, with an additional 10% penalty on the pre-59 and a half distribution. Double ouch! Now, sometimes people want to blame the IRS for this, but the IRS is just simply enforcing the rules on IRA rollovers. And they have tried to be lenient in many of these cases we read. There are many PLRs where the IRS has been helpful or lenient in some of these cases, but the rules are there to prevent abuses, and ultimately you will be held accountable for these kind of mistakes. Rules are rules. Well, that's our show. Before we go, we'd like to invite you to just give us a call at Strategic Planning Group. We offer a no-nonsense, no-pressure approach to retirement planning and investment management. You don't need to attend a seminar or a workshop. You can come right in and meet with us. This is a complimentary, straightforward consultation. This is about planning for retirement and making sure you've addressed your tax, legal, and investment objectives. Just come in and talk to us about your situation. You can reach us at 801-627-2200. That's 801-627-2200. Talk to Heather. She'll get you scheduled right away. We can also be found online at strategicutah.com. That's strategicutah.com. If you're approaching or in retirement, especially if you have 401k and IRA assets, you really owe it to yourself to give us a call. Thanks for tuning in to the Strategic Planning Group Lifestyle Investing Radio Show. We'll be on the air each week at this same time.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Strategic Planning Group and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Strategic Planning Group makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. Topics should be discussed with your individual advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Strategic Planning Group, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Estate plans must be written by a qualified legal professional. Tax advice must be provided by a qualified tax advisor. Legal and tax planning services are provided by properly credentialed and licensed attorneys and tax advisors. Strategic Planning Group is not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency.